Why do you think it's good to study the lives of the different women in the Bible? Go ahead, Franny.
Because each woman isn't necessarily like the same. Like you have a prostitute, and then you have a woman who becomes a judge, and there's all different types of women.
Yeah, there's all different kinds of women in the Bible, so that's why it's good to study women in the Bible to see, okay, which one can I relate to? Or maybe I can relate to more than one, right? Because once you start studying the Word of God and studying the different lives, you can see a little bit of yourself laced in everyone's story. So I saw this quote that I thought was really neat, and I put it up there from Chuck Smith. He says, sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that God only uses special people. The strong, the intelligent, the beautiful. We don't think he has a place for the rest of us. We're so wrong. We're so wrong. Because what you're going to see as we start studying the scriptures together is God used imperfect people. He wasn't looking for women that were perfect. He was looking for women that were obedient. Women that would say, yes, Lord, I hear you. Yes, Lord, I will go. I will go. So I just want to open, and I thought maybe what we could do, so I'm not doing all the talking tonight. Those of you that do have your Bible study, if you turn in the front where it says preference, okay, those of you that do have the Bible study, if we can maybe go this way, Jana, this way, and then we can go. Do you ladies in the second row have it? No? Okay. And then we'll go the back row. But maybe
we
you could
share the three of us. We can share this.
Okay. Okay. So maybe you could just read a paragraph a piece, read it out loud, and listen to what these men had to say about writing this Bible study. Because isn't it ironic that we're doing a woman's Bible study? But it's men that wrote it. But it has been endorsed by Kay Arthur, who is a wonderful Bible study teacher. So
question your wisdom a little bit.
Yeah, no, I did this back in 2004, this Bible study, and it was so rich. And there's a book, too, to it also. And it was just so rich that I wound up doing a lot of the Following God's Bible study because I like their style. I like their style. So we'll start with Jana, paragraph a piece, until we read what these men have to say about this Bible study that we're doing.
Where are we at again?
Where the preference, where it says women are important to the plan of God.
Right, women are important to the plan of God. This may seem like an unnecessary statement of the obvious, yet often this important message gets clouded by our culture. There are even those in the body of Christ that so promote an imbalanced view of submission that they leave little room for women to do anything in the service of God except take care of the nursery.
Can I say that again?
Yet, God makes it clear that women are important to him.
Isn't that good news?
Yes.
Women are very important to God. Yeah. Why? We're created in his image. We were created to glorify him. He created us with a purpose. That's good news, not just to take care of babies. Even though that's a part of it. But still, he wants to use your life in ways that you and I still haven't even tapped into. We're just scratching the surface. Morgan?
In Genesis 1:26-28, when the Trinity initiated the creation of mankind, we read, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God created man in his own image, and God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Emphasis added. In the plan of our God, it takes both male and female to reflect his image.
Wow. It takes both male and female to reflect his image. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting? Why was it interesting to you?
Because I always think of God in man's image. You know what I mean? Because he created Adam first. I always thought, even though I know he created Eve out of Adam, mm-hmm. I always still look at that God is, you know, Adam is created in God's image, and mm-hmm. that's it.
Yeah.
I just never thought of it that way. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's right, because God created us too, out of Adam.
Right.
So we would reflect his
image. Out of his
also.
Side. I don't want to get too much into Eve, because we're going to talk about her next week, but she was created from his rib.
Right.
Side by side.
Yes.
To complement each other.
Right.
Complement each other. And when things are right in that husband, in that wife, then the marriage relationship just glorifies God in the earth. And it's a picture of Christ in the church. It's really a picture of that.
When I took a systematic theology class mm-hmm. in Chicago, they said that, like, women, just in a way, they were like the crowning glory of creation.
Mm-hmm.
And just, it was, I mean, this guy had such a wonderful view mm-hmm. of women, just to, like, kind of redeem how women have just been objectified in our culture. And, like, you know, that this is how God has made us.
Yeah,
you know?
And that's the thing. You see that, especially in different countries, where they kind of put the woman down. You know, I think I come from Hispanic culture, so it's kind of like, you're there, but don't say nothing. He rules, he reigns. But there's Muslim countries like that too, right? I mean, there's so many countries that are like that, that they put the woman down, but God created her to glorify him in the earth. So what you're going to see, and this is why I love the Word of God. I mean, I just love being in the Word every day, and just, I love the Word of God, because it corrects my thinking. What my culture I was raised in, what the world has to say, God's Word corrects so I can see right my thinking. And I need him to do that. Through the Holy Spirit, he will do that. And hopefully, as you go through this Bible study, some things that might be off in your belief system that doesn't line up with the scripture, the Holy Spirit will bring correction to you, you know, in that area. And you'll see how freeing it was. For example, I'll share this, what I shared about the Hispanic culture. You were just, a woman was just, you're there. You don't say nothing, you don't have no input in the marriage, nothing. And it was a blessing when I wound up going to Pure Life Ministries, because we were working with a pastor who was counseling us when we got back together, Jeff and I. And he discerned that in me immediately. And he told me, he said, Rose, you have to look at God's Word, what it has to say about what biblical submission is in a marriage. It doesn't mean that you don't open your mouth and say nothing. You have, God created you to be a helpmate to your spouse. And some of you that have been in counseling with us, we've talked about this in counseling, where you pray for your husband, and especially if you see him going in a direction that you, I don't know if God is in that decision. You can express your concern to him, pray, but yet if he still chooses to go in that direction, you just believe, well, God, if he's in the flesh, you're going to reveal that to him. But it could possibly be you are leading in that way, and I just don't want to submit to that decision he's about to make. So what you see is that what he was trying to help me is open your mouth. He was trying to break me out of the cultural, what I was raised in, where you just are a doormat, you never say anything, and they rule and reign and kind of dominate over you. He's like, no, God created you to be his helper. You know, and sometimes you might have discernment about something and they don't, and you need to be able to communicate these things. So it was a blessing for me early on to see, I need my mind renewed with the Word of God. I really need to be renewed in my mind. So it's important. With this Bible study, every day it'll get you in the Word. And as you get in the Word, ask God, renew my mind with your Word. Wherever my thinking is out of alignment with what your purpose is for my life, I'm asking you, God, to correct me. Correct me so that I could be the helpmate for those of us that are married that my husband needs. Just bring correction into my life. You know, don't be afraid of that. So we move on now to, it was Hagar.
It was Hagar, the Egyptian slave girl, who named God El Roi. Is that correct?
Roi? El Roi.
The God who sees. It was Bathsheba, whom God chose as the mother of Solomon, and the kingly line of descendants leading to Jesus. Rachel and Leah bore the sons of Jacob, who became the 12 tribes of Israel. It is amazing, as one begins to study the scriptures, seriously, how many women God has included in his book.
Next paragraph. I guess we had to do back row.
Back row?
Yes.
Okay.
Jesus affirmed, women in his public ministry. He reached out to the Samaritan woman at the well, and then used her to take the gospel to a whole village. He rescued the woman caught in adultery from unjust justice. He gave women a prominence in his life and ministry that the culture did not. In fact, his public ministry was financed in large part by a group of women.
Isn't that amazing?
Sorry.
Thank you. What is the message from all of this? Women are important to God. You may be asking, how can three men write a book of Bible studies about women? The fact is, what you will learn in the pages of this book is not about what we know of women, but what God's Word has to say regarding women. Our goal is to take you to the Word, specifically those passages that introduce us to the prominent female characters of the Bible, and let you see for yourself what God has to say. Through these women of Scripture, He has a message for men and women alike about what it means to follow God. It is our prayer that this study will help you to follow Him more closely.
Amen. So that's what they had to write, but let's look at what the Scriptures have to say. Why it's important to study the lives of women, because we're still answering this question, why is this important? If you turn to Romans 15, verse 4, Romans 15, chapter 15, verse 4. I'll just wait till everyone's there. Okay. It says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So what the Apostle Paul is telling us there is everything that is in this Bible, from the beginning to the end, was written so we can learn from the lives of others. And what you see when you study different biblical characters in the Bible, whether it's men or women, you see they all had issues. No one was perfect except one. Jesus was the perfect one. But when you study the life of David, King Saul, Hezekiah, Isaiah, I mean, just different ones, Abraham, Noah, they all had something that, even though it was a character flaw, if we'll say it that way, God still used them.
Right.
He still used every single one of them. So we learn, as we spend time in the Word, these things were written for our learning, that we might have patience and comfort, knowing that, well, Lord, if you use them in that way, surely you could use my life for your kingdom purposes while I'm here. However long my life is going to be here on earth, I want every day that I have here to be used for your maximum glory. As a brother at Pure Life used to say, I want you to get the maximum glory out of my life, Lord. And he wants that too. He wants that too. But then also we have hope as we spend time in the Scriptures, especially studying the lives of these women. The first woman we're going to look at next week is Eve, and we see Eve blew it big time. I mean, I can't even imagine what it was like for her. She was in paradise, the perfect setting, And then she was expelled from there because of sin. I think about that a lot. What was that like for Adam and Eve? They tasted of that oneness with God, and yet they were cast out because of sin. And to this day, it's like we're trying to get our way back, and he's calling out to us everywhere, calling out to us, just like he called out to them. You know, so we have hope knowing that, okay, even though I might have blown it, there's hope for me. You know, even though I might have gone down that wrong pathway, there's hope for me, because Proverbs 1 says wisdom cries out. It cries out to anyone that would hear. It's crying out. So I hear you, Holy Spirit. I hear you drawing my heart back. I hear you. You're specifically putting your finger on specific things in my life that I need to cut out so that you can be the center. There's hope for us. So the Word of God, hopefully as you do this Bible study, is just going to make you hungry to be in the Word more and more. And not only just to study for whatever the study is for that week, but take it further than that. Go further, go deeper into it. Because there's so much there for us to take in from the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 10, this is a little long. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. And again, we're looking at why study the lives of different ones in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. It's pretty long. I don't know if you want to keep hearing my voice all night long. So if someone wants to read verses 1 through 5, and then someone else read verses 6 through 10, and then 11 to 12. Okay, go ahead, Diane. Okay.
Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness.
Now these things occurred as examples to us, to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written. People sat down to eat and drink, and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. We go to 12 or 10.
You could go all the way to 12.
These things happened to them as examples, and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall.
Yeah, so what we see there is there's a reference back to what happened in the wilderness with the children of Israel. And if that happened with the children of Israel, don't you think we Gentiles need to take heed? Yeah, yeah. So again, these things are written so that we can see the things that we need to repent of. And you'll see that in the lives of different women. They had different idols in their heart that they needed to repent of. And for this, what we just read in 1 Corinthians, they were idolaters. They committed sexual immorality. They complained. And it says there, these things happened to them in the New King James as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. And then the next scripture verse, which we all know by heart, is no temptation has overtaken you such as common to man. Right? But if God is faithful, he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to bear, but with the temptation provide a way of escape. But the thing with that portion of scripture there is sometimes we'll take that one scripture verse and just quote that. But this whole thing is sandwiched around it. It's sandwiched around it. So what we see, keeping it in context, 1 Corinthians 10, 14, it says, therefore, means disconnects what we read from verse 1 to verse 13 is all interconnected. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. So again, when we look at the different lives in the Bible, the women, we'll see what the idolatry was, but we need to learn from it so we can flee from it. Because what is the greatest commandment? And the second? Now, if we're caught up with some form of idolatry in our heart, are we loving God with all our heart?
No.
Are we loving our neighbor as ourselves? No, because we're so caught up in what I'm going through or what my thing might be, and we don't see anything else around us. So again, that's why we do this Bible study. It's like, Lord, I want to learn from Eve's mistake. I want to learn from... Okay, now we'll look at the different ladies that we're going to study just to consider their lives. This is just like a little snippet of each one of the lives that we're going to study for the next 12 weeks. And when we're done, if you ladies really like this Bible study, we could do book two. We probably won't do it this year. We can do it next year. But we could do book two if you really enjoy doing this. But think about Eve. She was the helper or companion that the Lord made for Adam. But yet she sinned in the perfect environment ever because she saw what she saw was pleasant to the eyes and it was desirable. And she took of its fruit, she ate of it, and she gave it to her husband. And you think as women, how many things we see that are pleasant to the eyes, our hearts start to desire it, and we take a bite. And then we find out it was a big, fat lie. It did not promise us what we thought it would. So that's Eve. What about Sarah? I'm going to study Sarah. She ran ahead of God's promises for an offspring, right? God made a promise. She couldn't wait. Here, take my handmaiden, Hagar. Take the Egyptian woman. She influenced her husband to act against the promises of God. And we got a nightmare to this day with Ishmael and Isaac. Okay. What about Miriam? Miriam was Moses' sister, and she was jealous.
Yeah.
How could you use my brother like that? Don't you know we hear from God too? Wow.
Yeah.
Right? And what happens to Miriam and Aaron? They wound up with leprosy outside the camp until they repented. Yeah. I would say we could learn a lot from these ladies because like I said, if we're honest, if we have an honest heart before God, we could say, yeah, Lord, I'm just like Eve and yeah, I'm just like Sarah. I don't want to wait for you. I want to try to make something happen in my own strength. I'm just like Miriam. I get envious and jealous of other people that have an anointing on them. And God, why are you using them and not me? Anyone else like that?
Yeah. It's just you.
Yeah. You are deceived. What do we read? 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation. It's common to man. When I have people tell me they don't struggle with that, you don't have an honest heart before God. Because we're all stinking, wretched sinners. Jesus said it. Jesus said it in the church of Laodicea. You're naked, you're poor, you're miserable, you're blind, but you don't see it. I'd rather see it than him say that to me.
Right. Yeah.
And sometimes it's painful to see it, painful to have to acknowledge it, you know. But the truth is what sets us free.
Yeah.
It's the thing. The truth sets us free. So then we have Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute who received the treachery, or who received tremendous mercy from God, right? When Joshua,
yes.
God's judgment was coming into the city of Jericho, and God made a promise to Rahab that her and her household would be spared. She had to put that scarlet cord in the window. But that was a prostitute. God had mercy on her. Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful God has mercy on prostitutes.
Yes.
What about Ruth? Ruth was a Moabitess priestess at the temple. But she was also the great-grandmother of King David.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, it is.
With all her flaws and failures, she was the great-grandmother of King David. Wow. If God can use these women, why can't he use you? Why can't he use you? He can. And he's not waiting for you to get perfect. Just as you are. He can use you. Just as you are. What about Hannah? Hannah was barren. And she was jealous of her husband's other two wives that were having babies like crazy.
Right, yeah.
Have you ever had a time like that? What about Esther? Who God used to save a people who the enemy wanted to wipe off the face of the earth and still wants to wipe off the face of the earth. But God used her. She said, if I die, I die. At least I'm going to try. At least I'm going to try. And I think that needs to be a lot of our attitudes now.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, if I die doing your will, you know, people used to tell us because we traveled to some really dangerous countries to minister, Jeff and I. We've been to Cali, Colombia. We've been to El Salvador twice. We went to Cuba. I mean, we've been to pretty dangerous countries. And people would be like, why would you want to go there? My poor mom, she would be like, why are you going there? You got to know my mother. Some of you do, but she's, you're crazy. But you know what? I always said, I'd rather die doing God's will than doing something else. If I die, I die. We need that attitude in our heart. Especially in this day we're living in, where it's very capable that we will die.
Mm-hmm.
We will die.
To die is gain.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. We will study the virtuous woman. And some of you know her as the Proverbs 31 woman or the Titus 2 women. We'll study her life. And that'll cut us to the core.
That's really depressing. I'm sorry.
I laugh because sometimes I'll have women that come for counseling, and this has happened for a long time, that are complaining. They have to clean up after their husband. Now, I could do the same thing. I like everything clean and spotless. And when Jeff leaves little crumbs here and there, I'm grumbling under my breath. But God's dealing with me about that. Stop grumbling and complaining. But I laugh when I have women coming for counseling and they just complain about, well, I got to do his laundry and I got to cook for him and I got to, but that's a part of our role. God has created us to do that. He's created us for that purpose. So you're fulfilling your ministry, not only to God, but to your husband. You know, but we have to do it with joy. That's the thing. We do it with joy.
Does it count if you do it like
this one? Yeah, I know. I know. God's working on me too on that one. And then there's Mary and Martha. We'll study their lives. And what was the difference between the two of them?
One was a worker.
And one was a worshiper.
Yes.
Which would you rather be?
Yeah.
Mary or Martha?
Maroffa.
Oh. I mean, Mary sat at Jesus' feet, hanging on to every word that he had to say. I can't imagine when she looked up in his face, sitting down at his feet, which was an example. Well, what she was saying is, I'm a disciple of yours. I'm a worshiper of yours. And what did she see in his face when she looked up from that position? And he was sharing with her. Treasures that he said no one would be able to take from her. It was hers. She owned it. He was pouring into her. She was hanging on every word he had to say. And what about Martha? He said, you're worried, you're anxious, distracted by so many things. But one thing's needful. So again, we'll look at their lives and say, okay, where am I? There's times when I could be busy. There's times when I could be anxious and I'm worried about everything. But Jesus said, one thing's needed. Get at my feet. Just get at my feet. Listen. How do we listen? Jesus, you know, he's from the beginning. In every book, he is.
Yes, he is.
In every book, Jesus can be found. He wants to speak to us. Calm our hearts. Calm us down inside. Where he says, I got this. I got this. Don't try to figure it out. I know sometimes we want to figure it out. And he's saying, just rest. Just rest. I see that in my own life. We're doing this church and the counseling center. Sometimes at night, I'm just up, and it's just like, and we know what's going on in everyone's life. That's what we want. We want this church to be that. But sometimes it could be so overwhelming, and Jeff the same way. We'll be up half the night, just the thoughts. And we know, because we talk about it, it's like, God always works everything out. So why am I worried and anxious all these hours? Because he always works it out. And it's effortlessly. That's what's so amazing. It's so effortlessly. And meanwhile, I just lost how many hours of sleep? I'm insane. Really? That's what you start seeing. I am insane. And again, it's, I want you just to rest. Rest in who I am. In what I've done. How faithful have I been? I haven't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. But yet we still want to. So when we go through Mary and Martha, again, he'll be calling us back to his feet. Take a look at him. He can be trusted. He can be trusted. We'll study Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, why would we study Mary, the mother of Jesus? But you know what? She was a humble, humble, humble woman. What if an angel of the Lord came to you and said, what's about to happen to you is going to be totally divine. And she wasn't married to Joseph yet. She was betrothed to him, but she wasn't married to him. And now she's pregnant and walking around her country pregnant. And she's not married. And she's telling people, this is a divine thing that has happened to me. I mean, people would think you're nuts. Really? But she knew. She went into it knowing. And the thing is, she said, whatever, God, whatever. Here I am. Here I am. Whatever you want to do, here I am. To have a heart like that, even though you know you'll be mocked, ridiculed, looked down upon, all manner of evil set against you, but yet she loved God so much that she said, here's my body. Take it. Whatever you want to do with it. So we'll study Mary. She was a humble maidservant of the Lord, yielded and submitted to God to use her life in any way he desired. Don't you want that? I mean, you read about these stories, and yeah, we get convicted, but at the same time, there's something in us that says, I want that. Because I know that's what I've been created for. I know I've been created to sit at your feet. I know I've been created to be a true worshiper of God. You've made that real to me. I know I'm your temple. You dwell in there. I want to live more in the reality that you dwell in there. Because sometimes I wonder, are you really in there or not? You know, when stuff comes out of me. But your word says you are. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. So there should be something in us that, even though it's cutting, it still draws us. It's so amazing with God and with Jesus that his words, sometimes they do cut like a sword, but at the same time, there's something in us that's being pulled towards him. It's like, yeah, but I want to touch the hem of your garment. Just give me crumbs. Be happy with just the crumbs. And he says, I got more than crumbs for you. I don't want to just give you crumbs. I want to give you more than that. That's what's so amazing about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The way they just minister to us, all three, as women, is precious. It's so precious. And you know what? It seems like when you're in the wine press and you feel like, I can't take another thing, gonna go wrong, done. For some reason, it's just, I can't even explain it. It's just, the reality of who he is, his nearness, just, some of you know what I'm talking about. You've been there, and Jesus has been there with you. Yes. Yeah. In such a precious, mm-hmm. almost tangible way that you wouldn't exchange going through what you went through because that time was so precious. Such a gift. Such a gift. So the last study that we do for this Bible study will be the Bride of Christ. It's my favorite. We are the Bride of Christ. That's our identity, our hearts are being prepared for the day when we are finally united with him in oneness. All of us will mean nothing when we are with him in that way. I've been working on a Bible study the past 4 years, and I called it Joy Comes in the Morning, and it's more for women that are going through different various trials in their marriages, and some will look at it and say, okay, well, even though I'm going through these trials, joy's going to come in the morning because God's going to work everything out in the end. But that's not the theme in the Bible study. The whole theme is, even if things don't work out, there's still a joy coming in the morning when we're finally with Jesus. We see him face to face, and he's going to wipe away every tear. And everything that he said in the word about himself, when we're finally united with him, that's the true joy that's coming. That's the true joy that's coming. So he uses everything we go through in life for that divine purpose, because he's preparing us, his bride. He's preparing us. He's got to get the junk out, because he's coming back for a pure and spotless bride. And we are made pure and spotless through the blood of Jesus. We can't add to that. But 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I'll read this because it just came to me. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Here's this call again. And I'm going to start from verse 14, but the verse I'm really wanting to get at is 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. But I got to read the verses before because it's that word therefore again is in there. So verse 14 in 2 Corinthians 6 says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Baal? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, says the Lord. I will dwell in them. I'll walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separated, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord." So even though we're made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ and we can't add anything to it, those little stinky, sinful attitudes that we have in our heart, anger towards one another, bitterness towards one another, grumbling, complaining, we need to get that out. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. And this Sunday, Lord willing, Jeff and I are going to be giving a message together, so we'll talk more on that. So as we're going through this Bible study, we need to ask the Holy Spirit, do that in me, Lord. I want to learn from every one of these ladies, and I want you to purify me so when you come back, I'll be ready for you. I heard there's an Israeli guy that I love listening to. His name is Amir Safari. And he was saying how, you know, for so many centuries we've heard Jesus is coming back, Jesus is coming back, Jesus is coming back. He said, but do you ever wonder why he hasn't come back yet? He said, could it be that the bride is just not ready? She's not ready. And not only that, she's not longing for him. He's longing for us. But are we longing for him in the way he's longing for us? You know, so he'll say stuff like that that makes you think, it's like, wow. So we know that's going to be the end of the Bible study, the last study we do. So let's let God produce that in us now. You know, that we would be a bride longing for him. You know, we sing that song, as a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be at church ready for you. I forgot the name of the song. I have it on my phone. But even so, come. That's the name of the song. And I sing that song, and I was like, oh, I want that so badly to really be burning in me, you know, to be burning in me, not just a song that we sing because it's a song that we sing in church, you know what I mean? Yeah. So 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So as we go through this, again, let God's word correct. Maybe your doctrine might be off. Maybe there needs to be some reproof in your life, my life, some correction there, and definitely instruction in righteousness. I like to look at this. It's kind of like when you go to a chiropractor, you know you're kind of disjointed and you're not set straight. But God's word can
get you right back.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So as we go through it together, we'll ask the Lord to do that. for us. And maybe we can do that. We can close out this teaching with just some prayer. If you feel that you want to just pray out to the Lord that God would do in us as a body and whoever else is going to come to this class so that we'll be all united together in that way. So let's just pray for a little bit and then we'll close out.